Some lag here. Oh, I have some few seconds of lag, so if you all can kneel down, please do so. We're gonna go in prayer. Please bow your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you so much for the answered prayers in regard to the online church. Thank you for once again protecting us and helping the server of the church, that we may have this wonderful and blessed opportunity again to gather in your presence. And thank you so much for being present with us and allowing us to glorify you today. Please bridle my tongue and all the tongues that may speak or type messages on your behalf in the chat room. But only you and the Godhead family be glorified, because this is your day and we are to show your love to you in this day, to prove our loyalty to you. Thank you so much, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you so much for the reproof and instruction in righteousness. And thank you so much for your beloved Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, and also helping us daily with the Holy Spirit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ, our King, pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Today is April 20, 2024, and this is the part two of the sermon about Youth by the Prophets. Many in today's modern Christendom cling to their own pastors as their guide instead of making the Word of God their refuge, when we are so clearly reminded of God to make Him our guide, to make His Word our path, and not our own or by any man. It is our duty to cling to His promise. It is our duty to keep His law, as Sister Mindy shared earlier. The majority believe whatever seemed to be famous in the eyes and ears of men. For example, the prosperity teachings on how to gain wealth, leaving behind the importance on why Jesus died for everyone on the cross. Christ died for our sins. He did not die so one can gain a mass amount of wealth. The teachings of self-worship on how God will do everything for an individual, but not talking about how to get there, or not talking about the repentance from sin. As we read from Sister White's The Lord End Time Prophet, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 413, paragraph 3. It says here, Satan is constantly endeavoring to attract attention to man in the place of God. He leads the people to look to bishops, to pastors, to professors of theology as their guides, instead of searching the scriptures to learn their duty for themselves. Then by controlling the minds of these leaders, he can influence the multitudes according to his will. Like as Pastor Nicholas mentioned earlier, they needed mega stadiums or mega buildings, so 20,000, or paraphrasing what he said, for example, 20,000 to 30,000 people can easily be deceived. And can imagine how many demons, unseen angels, demonic angels are lurking around that. So what happened is, being used by the false prophets for not studying the Word of God themselves, the Christian growth is marred by worldliness or the love of material things. You know, there's a verse in 2 John somewhere that it says that, you know, if any man love the world, the love the Father. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, getting choked up by the cares of this life because of the thorns inside the congregation which they choose. As Pastor Nick shared earlier about people worshiping the creation more than the Creator. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in men, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. To reiterate this verse, I would like to read from The Home Missionary, November 1st, 1893, paragraph 8. Again and again, I have been shown that the people of God in these last days could not be safe in trusting in men and making flesh their arm. The mighty cleaver of truth has taken them out of the world as rough stones that are to be hewed and squared and polished for the heavenly building. They must be used by the prophets with reproof, warning, admonition, and advice that they may be fashioned after the divine pattern, capital P. This is a specified work of the Comforter to transform heart and character, that men may keep the way of the Lord. The problem is that some teach that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and that is a very clear sign that those who say such things are not being used by the prophets or the words of God that He gave unto His prophets. By blaspheming the Holy Spirit and degrading His deity. Without the Holy Spirit, no heart can be transformed into a new creature. If the Holy Spirit is taken out of the picture, then guess what happened? By denying the power of the Holy Spirit, the existence of the Holy Spirit, they also denied Jesus, because the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit once we accept Jesus as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit will be sent by Him. And there are also some teachings that saying that Jesus is not second, or Jesus is not God. So that's actually taking Him out also, out of the picture. These false teachings are very offensive to God, because it's like taking them out from their throne. They don't want to recognize the superiority of God. So taking out Jesus, that offends also the Father, our Heavenly Father. So that will take Him out also. And whose God are they worshiping now, if they do such things? They will be worshiping the God of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and our circumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. This verse is, I'm sharing this verse in regard to to the previous study of Pastor Nicholas earlier, that the Holy Spirit is needed in our walks, and not circumcision and not uncircumcision. So without the Holy Spirit, no man can do anything to himself. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Again, I will read the verse. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. So to those that preach that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or to those that preach any doctrine that God did not say, for example, the feast days, that they need to keep the feast days, that is denying what Jesus did on the cross when Jesus said, it is finished, in John chapter 19, verse 30. So where in the Bible that it says the Holy Spirit doesn't exist? Where in the 66 books does it say that? Where in the 66 books does it say Jesus is not God? Where is it? We're going to continue on reading The Home Missionary, November 1st, 1893, paragraph 9. It says, many who are explaining the scriptures to others have not conscientiously and entirely surrendered mind and heart and life to the control of the Holy Spirit. To those who are teaching such things, if you do not, or even all of us, if we do not surrender to the Holy Spirit to be controlled in mind and heart, it will be impossible for us to learn. It doesn't matter how many times we read it, even if we memorize it. Memorizing the Bible will not mean anything if we don't get the help from the Holy Spirit and from Christ Himself. As we allow the Word of God to use us in different areas of our walks and acknowledging the Godhead working in us, we are to share the things that we have learned to others. Relatives may be the hardest ones to reach out, and we cannot be silent towards them about the truth we embrace. Home Missionary, November 1st, 1893, paragraph 10. The message we have to bear is not a message that men need cringe to declare. They are not to seek to cover it, to conceal its origin and purpose. Its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace, day nor night, as those who have made solemn vows to God and who have been commissioned as the messengers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of the grace of God. We are under obligation to declare faithfully the whole counsel of God. We are not to make less prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are brought with eternal interest. God has given us light in regard to the things that are now taking place in the last remnant of time. And with pen and with voice, we are to proclaim the truth to a world not in a tame, spiritless way, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. So, brothers and sisters, if we are being used by the Spirit of God, we also can be used by the Lord to you, other people that don't know Him yet. To you, other people, using God's word that He gave unto His prophets of old. The great physician can easily remove our bad characters that beset our relationship in God by allowing Him to place a new heart daily, or renewing us, renewing of the mind daily. But before all that, all idols, bad characters, and vanities that blocks the entrance of the heart must be put away completely in order to hear that Jesus is continually knocking the doorway of our hearts to invite us to let Him into our lives. Sometimes we become stagnant and think that we've been in the church for many years, some of us 5 years or less than that, and we become stagnant, and there are sometimes we think that we were stronger when we came in, when we accepted Christ, and now we became stagnant a little bit. So we have to let Him in our lives daily by reading His Word, studying His Word. He has promised if we acknowledge that we transgress His law, that He will give us one heart. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So for the Lord to do this is for anyone to let Him in, to change that heart, to you that, to chisel that stony heart and replace it by a new one with a perfect heart that only comes from the Lord. Verse 21, but as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of the detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. The free will that God gave us is to show how much His love can change a sinful man to reconcile with Him. God did not create humans to destroy them because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Think of Paul the Apostle when he was Saul. He was a very vile man. He consented to the stoning of Stephen. And guess what happened to him when the Lord changed his heart? But those who walk it after their own heart and after their ways, there's billions of them now. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? So the Lord knows. The people will be murmuring. And complaining in regard to His law. Sorry about that. Are we continuing? So the people will be complaining in regard to the Lord's instruction and His reproof. But the Lord will not do. We do things that will hurt them, will hurt anyone. God has laid out everything that men and women need to learn in order to be used by His truth and prepare for eternity. Allowing the Lord to do the cleansing that only Him can do. He created us in His image, and He only can make us new. His promise is sure once we acknowledge our sins and to confess and repent. So those who ask, so why would the Lord create those people and will decide to destroy them later? No, the Lord will not decide to destroy them later. They decided for themselves. The Lord prepared the lake of fire for Satan and the third the demonic angels that join him in rebellion. But for the people who would like to rebel, will also join in that lake of fire. But God has no pleasure in putting people to that lake of fire. The reason why is God sent his only begotten Son. That's the proof that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked people. He wanted to save all of us. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and 26. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and 26. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I heard some people say that only looks of people can change, you know, how we get old and how we get old in years. But character doesn't. I used to believe in these sayings, but after meeting Jesus, those sayings fell to the ground. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Verse 28 of the same chapter, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave you, that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And this is the fulfillment of the promise. It's also the fulfillment of our promise from Jeremiah about God promising us, giving us a new heart. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So those relatives of ours who have seen our change, or some of your relatives who have seen the change, your change in the Lord, sometimes demand the old you back. And we just reply to them, the Lord is renewing me daily and being used by God by His words, for the sanctification is a work of a lifetime. Day by day, we study His Word. We let our King Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father to work in us. The old us, the old plaque in our character, in our hearts, is being chipped away day by day as we grow in faith. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So brothers and sisters, when we decide to not serve sin anymore, and we become slave unto righteousness, righteousness being Jesus, our righteousness, when Paul says in one of his epistles, he says, him being a prisoner of Christ, we also would like to be a prisoner of Christ, you know, a prisoner of righteousness. And the more we obey Christ, the more we are faulty in our own eyes. When we get close to Jesus, we look at the mirror of that John mentioned, which is the Ten Commandments, the old commandments that we heard from the beginning. Do you sometimes open the Bible to Exodus 20 after you mess up? Does any of you do that? just to double check which commandment you break today or you broke yesterday. Romans chapter 7 verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So brothers and sisters, when we study the Word of God daily and we read something, sometimes the Holy Spirit will direct us to what we need to study, what chapter or what, whether it be Old or New Testament, He will send us to that verse. Or sometimes a brother and a sister will send us Bible verses. They didn't even know we commit something or we're doing something wrong. They just sent us a verse, you know, for edifying purposes, not to attack us. And you'll be surprised, like, how did this brother or sister know that I need to hear this? Because it is the Holy Spirit using them to send the Bible verses to us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. When we strive to keep God's law, believe by faith that our King Jesus Christ will help us, as He promised to us in His Word. Keeping His law will become so natural to us, to those who love Jesus. For example, you didn't have a hard time, or did not have the time to study the Word yesterday because you went on a trip, let's say, per se, a long drive or flying somewhere. Your life is incomplete that day because you did not study His Word, not because you purposely did not study it or meditating it that day. But something that you did not eat that day made you weak, because you are accustomed to studying His Word and meditating in His law daily. Professing as Christians alone is not enough without personal effort. We're going to read Review and Herald, December 1883, paragraph 4. I thought, as I look upon the brethren and sisters assembled on the Nebraska campground, these precious souls are the purchase of the blood of Christ. He died that they might have life and immortality. And yet, they do not discern their high and exalted privilege. For Satan interposes to obstruct and cloud their view of the perfection of Christ and the heaven-bought privileges He has brought within their reach. How can these obtain eternal life? Will they arouse from their indifference? Will they escape from this death-like sluggishness of soul? Will they avail themselves of the only effectual remedy? Earnest faith and firm reliance upon the Word of God. They may trust in Jesus. They may rely upon His merits. They may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. But in order to do this, they must work from a higher standpoint. They have long trained their minds to run in a worldly channel, and now that they profess to love Jesus, they have another and a different education to obtain in the school of Christ. They are rough stones hewed out of the quarry of the world by the cleaver of truth. But it is not the plan of God that they shall always remain rough stones. We shall all be brought into the workshop of God, where the hammer and the chisel will be brought to bear upon us until we are hewed and squared. Then we are to undergo still a nicer work of burnishing and polishing until we are fitted for a place in God's temple, when every stone will come into its place without the sound of an axe or hammer. So a lot of Christians today are still rough stones. Having faith alone is not enough, because faith without works is dead. So for us to be healed by the prophets, and for us to be that living, to become that living stone, that polished stone, we are to put away the things that do not have pleasures in the eyes of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put up concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now we'll be back to our relatives and friends and co-workers. What happened? They're going to ask you, what happened to you? Why do you talk that way now? What happened to the F-bombs and the colorful words are not flying from your mouth anymore, because you are being used by the prophets, by the word of God. We're going to talk about Christ Object Lessons, page 160, paragraph 3. At every advanced step in Christian experience, our repentance will deepen. It is to those whom the Lord has forgiven, to those whom He acknowledges as His people, that He says, "Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight." That's from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 31. Again, He says, "I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember, and be compounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee, for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord." Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 62 and 63. Then our lips will not be open in self-glorification. We shall know that our sufficiency is in Christ alone. We shall make the apostles' confession our own. "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." That is from Romans 7, verse 18. "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So, brothers and sisters, the Lord has been blessing us many, many years, the knowledge that we learn, we are always giving merit to Him, giving glory to Him. We are learning daily to trample upon self-glorification and pride and envy, knowing that we are being used by the Word of God. We don't glory ourselves. We don't glorify ourselves like we change ourselves. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." The rough buildups in the heart of men, such as selfishness, pride and envy, or anything that prevents the entrance of wisdom from coming in, must be chipped away, which none of us can do. In Review and Herald, August 7, 1888, paragraph 17, "We are now in the workshop of God, to be hewed and squared and chiseled and polished for the heavenly building. All our preparation for heaven must be completed here. When Christ comes, our characters will not be changed. These vile bodies will be changed and fashioned after the likeness of His glorious body, but there will not be a moral change wrought in us then. At that time, those who have endured the work of the Master Builder and have been hewed and squared and polished will come together into the glorious temple each in his place. Without the sound of an axe or hammer, the work of preparation will be close and trying to our hearts, but it is the only way that has been provided by the God of wisdom, whereby we may become living stones in his great spiritual and eternal temple. So, brothers and sisters, the return of our Savior is getting closer day by day. Let us keep our eyes on him and let him renew us daily so that we emulate his character perfectly right before he changes his priestly attire and put on his robe of vengeance. In the book of Sketch of the Christian Experience and Views of Ellen G. White, 1851, it says here, page 58, paragraph 2 and 3, I saw that many did not realize what they must be in order to live in the sight of the Lord without a high priest in the sanctuary through the time of trouble. Those who received the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble must reflect the image of Jesus fully. I saw that many were neglecting the preparations so needful and were looking to the time of refreshing and latter rain to fit them to stand in the day of the Lord and to live in his sight. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without shelter. They had neglected the needful preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. Those who refuse to be used by the prophets and do not purify their souls in obeying the whole truth, and are willing to believe that their condition is far better than it really is, like Pastor Nicholas mentioning earlier, self-deception, that they believe their own condition is far better, or their own doing all right, continuing, will become, up to the time of the falling of the plagues, then see that they needed to be hewed and squared for the building. But there will be no time then to do it, and no mediator to plead their cause before the Father. Before this time, the awfully solemn declaration has gone forth. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I saw that none could share the repressing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, all pride, selfishness, love of the world, and over every wrong word and action. We should, therefore, be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. Let all remember that God is holy, and none but holy things can ever dwell in his presence. Review and Herald, December 4, 1900, paragraph 2. Now is the time for the stones to be taken from the quarry of the world and brought into God's workshop, to be hewed, squared, and polished that they may shine. This is God's plan, and he desires all who profess to believe the truth to fill their respective places in a great, grand work for this time. He desires each worker to stand forth, as did Daniel, every phase of the character under divine ministration, that day by day he may be prepared to fill his place in the temple of God. So, brothers and sisters, we cannot repent for each other. We cannot. There are things that we, just like the Polish virgins, we cannot give oil to each other when that time comes. When we run out of oil, when we have all our lamps and we're not ready, we cannot share oil to each other during that time. So it is so important for us to be used by the Word of God now. If we refuse to be used by the words of the truth that the Lord gave unto His prophets and apostles written in His Word, we may be professing the truth with our words, but lacking effort and the lack of putting it into practice, we will be found wanting. Youth Instructor, August 31, 1893, paragraph 6. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think that's from 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm sure, those who are defective in character, in conduct, in habits, in practices, are to take heed to counsel and reproof. This world is God's workshop, and every stone that can be used in the heavenly temple must be hewed and polished until it is a tried and precious stone, fitted for its place in the Lord's building. But if we refuse to be trained in discipline, we shall be as stones that will not be hewed and polished, and that are cast aside, and at last as useless. So brothers and sisters, for example, in our household, for those of you that have families with kids and with spouses, or even for the single ones that have roommates or brothers and sisters, if a brother or your sister did something to you that you don't appreciate, or however small that can be, just saying forgive me or I'm sorry, just those phrases will bring your pride low. If you have pride, I'm not saying you have pride. For example, if I made a mistake and I knew I make a mistake, I must say I'm sorry to my brothers and sisters and ask for their forgiveness. Or in the household, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry that you feel that way because of what I did. So by just saying I'm sorry and forgive me, that alone can we practice daily, and many more that the Lord teaches us in humility to be, that we may practice it daily. Unlike the Jews of old and Sadducees, who reviled Jesus our King, who hang him on that cross. They were the ones that are many rough stones that stayed rough. And to those who continually persecute Christians, followers of Christ unto this day, the Isaiah 4 verse, and also to those Isaiah 4 verse 1 types, they will stay as rough stones if they do not allow the truth, the Sabbath truth, thus far the Lord's instruction to keep the Sabbath day holy, if they continue to keep Sunday holy, or to celebrate, or to keep lunar Sabbath, you are not being used by the Lord's prophet's word, by the Lord's word, using His prophet, sorry. Because you refuse to be used by the prophets by keeping Sunday holy. So what will the Lord do to the ones that did not put forth any effort after they received the knowledge of the truth, or after they heard the truth about the Sabbath and all the things that the Lord mentioned in His Word, not putting any effort for a change of heart? Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. And now also the axe that is laid unto the roots of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So what would you rather be? Or what would we rather be? Do we want to be hewed by the words of God using the cleaver of truth? Or do we want to be hewn down and cast into the fire? I hope and pray that we are all blessed by what the Lord gave us the Sabbath day. God bless.
Christ the dear pen is for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than many others, much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Praise the Lord. If you all can kneel, please do so. We're gonna finish in prayer. And please bow our hearts to the God family. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for what you have blessed us today. Being able to keep the Sabbath and being able to gather before you is already a blessing. And most especially your presence and the presence of our King Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in the midst of this study and sermon hour and the children's study. And and the price of our righteousness study, and even the whole week. Thank you so much for being present in our lives. Thank you for correcting us, for reproving us, for sending different individuals to correct our errors. We so much thankful and love you, for we are so unworthy of your blessings. We are so unworthy of your love because we are undone. Thank you for using us. Please continue to love us and teach us to continue to love you, because we love to be used by the prophets, by your words that you've given to your prophets. Please bless us with the remaining of the Sabbath day to only speak of your goodness and your kindness towards all. We worship thee with the help of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ, our King, our Commander, our righteousness, we pray. Amen.